Greetings to the brightest audience in the country and welcome to the Dominic and Yert Show. Today is the last day before Pride Month. It is the calm before the storm, the breath before the plunge. Pride Month is very appropriately named. You could argue based on their celebrations, it should be called Lust Month. A lot of people argue that. After all, it's the month when the left, they take their sexual immorality and rather than hide it in the darkness of their bedrooms, they put it on full display for all, especially children, to see. You might think lust, that would best encapsulate that. They are advertising their sexual perversion, so what better way could you describe it? But pride is the correct sin to ascribe their celebrations. Sure, lust is involved, but not chiefly. If it were merely lust, they would be content to stay hidden, exercising their deviancy at whatever truck stop porta potty they most prefer. But it's not about them being able to do whatever they want. It's not about them having freedom. They already have the ability to do whatever it is that they wish. It's not about fighting for freedom to use each other as objects. They already have that quote-unquote right. They already have that freedom. It's about shoving their perversion in your face and demanding submission. It's about giving God the middle finger. After all, these people, they do not love each other. They don't even know what love is. They are merely using one another as tools to express their hatred of God. It's not about lust. It's about pride. And here's what C.S. Lewis wrote about pride. I thought this was very wise. He said, quote, "According to Christian teachers, the essential vice, the utmost evil, is pride. Unchastity, anger, greed, drunkenness, and all that are mere flea bites in comparison. It was through pride that the devil became the devil. Pride leads to every other vice. It is the complete anti-God state of mind." And Lewis, he has a whole chapter in Mere Christianity on pride. Brilliant stuff from C.S. Lewis. But I want you to consider why Pride Month, why this is so dangerous. People, they have a tendency to hide what they are ashamed of and reveal what they find to be acceptable, right? When you were a kid, you wouldn't brag to your parents about making a mess. You might try to keep that hidden. Imagine then if you were to have bragged about making a mess, very likely that would mean that you have done something far worse that you're keeping hidden. It was Christ who said, "If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" So at first, what is it that they said? They said, "Well, we just want to be left alone." That's what they said at first. And what did we say on the right? We said, "That's not true. It's much worse than that. The darkness in you is much worse than just wanting to be left alone." And then what happened? Well, they confessed that they're coming for us. They're coming for our children specifically to groom and sexualize them. That's not me putting words in their mouth. That is a direct confession. This now is the San Francisco choir, if you remember this, admitting that they are coming for our children.
"You think that we'll corrupt your kids if our agenda goes unchecked? Funny, just this once, you're correct. We'll convert your children. Happens bit by bit, quietly and subtly, and you will barely notice it. We'll convert your children. We'll make them tolerant and fair. We'll convert your children. Someone's gotta teach them not to hate.
If the light that is in them is darkness, how great is their darkness?" It's hard to imagine being more evil, more corrupt, more morally bankrupt than that. But as the late Pastor Bob Enyart once said, there is no bottom to that abyss. So that raises the question, what do we do about this? How do we respond? Well, there's really only one answer: with moral courage, with the willingness to say, no, this is unacceptable. We will not tolerate this within our society. As Christians, tolerance is not a virtue. Tolerance is not a virtue found in the Bible. Christianity actually is inherently intolerant. It is the belief that we are broken and we are in the wrong. It is, in part, the belief that our actions taken against God are completely and wholly unacceptable. We have been duped by the left into believing that tolerance somehow is a Christian virtue. It's not. That is a leftist virtue. It is not a righteous virtue. Think about the word tolerance itself, right? Do you tolerate something that is inherently good? No, you don't tolerate good things. You tolerate bad things. You do not tolerate good things. You might celebrate a good thing, but you tolerate bad things exclusively. And so when the left, when they ask for tolerance, they are admitting that they are at fault. And that's why, in part, we see the left, they're moving away from tolerance. It used to be all about, oh, you have to tolerate. That is now no longer good enough. Now they are demanding that we must celebrate them. But I say that you haven't gotten me to tolerate it yet, so good luck getting me to celebrate it. And so we have to have moral courage. We have to have the courage to say this is inherently wrong. And we have to have the courage to say why it's wrong. And so this is the part that a lot of conservatives, even on my side, they get wrong. And they say, oh, well, we can argue why it's wrong. We can argue why it hurts society. But they won't ever get down to the heart of the issue. They won't get down to saying why it's wrong and why it's unacceptable. And the reason it is wrong is because it is a sin against God. Now, of course, there are many practical arguments as to why this shouldn't be accepted. It does destroy families, which in turn destroys communities, which in turn destroys the country. It engages and encourages selfishness. It rewards self-centeredness. It's manipulative. It's child abuse. It causes suicide. It causes depression. And we have all of these practical reasons. We can list 1,000 ways society would benefit from shutting this down. But society benefiting, that is not the main reason. The main problem with Pride Month, with pride, is that it is a sin against God. And it's condemned by God in the Bible. And this is the important point. It's not only condemned by God as a sin, but also a crime, a legal crime. And that is how the Bible portrays this sin. And the response that you hear from the left is, or and even some on the right, is, oh, so you think we should write our laws based on a book that was written thousands of years ago? Yes, we should, absolutely. Because that book written 1,000 years ago has shown more legal wisdom and moral authority and moral clarity than any other writing in the history of humanity. And so if you're not going to base your laws off of that book, what book are you going to base yours on? What book is better suited for such a purpose? The book that the Bible, that book is responsible for Western civilization. That book has given us civilization, and which I'll point out, Western civilization is the best civilization of all time. And right, we have our flaws. I won't deny that. We have our flaws, but our flaws, they come from rejecting the Bible's legal wisdom. And so in response to Pride Month, we must do what is right and risk the consequences. Now, while Pride Month is certain to cause many to stumble into sin, I would like to share several stories of encouragement before the tidal wave of perversion that is about to wash over, before that comes. All right, reading now from the New York Times. Ugandan president signs anti-gay law that includes death penalty as punishment. The legislation is among the most restrictive of its kind in the world and was condemned by Western leaders in the and the United Nations human rights body. And here you have the Ugandan parliament. The president of Uganda signed a punitive anti-gay bill on Monday that includes the death penalty, enshrining into law an intensifying crackdown against LGBTQ people in the conservative East African nation and dismissing widespread calls not to impose one of the world's most restrictive anti-gay measures. The law calls for life imprisonment for anyone who engages in gay sex. Anyone who tries to have same-sex relations could be liable for up to a decade in prison. And so there is a Uganda, they are putting a difference between committing this crime and attempting to commit the crime. Now, it should be, and not with this law specifically, but if you ever commit a crime or you attempt to commit a crime, the punishments for both of those should be the same. And so if you try to murder somebody, you try to shoot them with a gun and you have poor aim and you miss, that's still attempted murder. You should still be punished as if you had actually murdered them. You don't get off any easier because you're a bad shot. Continuing now. The law also decrees the death penalty for anyone convicted of, quote, aggravated homosexuality, a term defined as acts of same-sex relations with children or disabled people, those who have carried out under threat or while someone is unconscious. The offense of attempted aggravated homosexuality carries a sentence of up to 14 years. And so, if you rape someone, you should be put to death. That is what Uganda is saying here. Obviously, that's good. It's good for rapists to be put to death. The legislation is a major blow to efforts by the United Nations, Western governments, civil society, and rights groups that had implored the president, Yoweri Museveni, not to sign it. On Monday, the United States, the United Kingdom, and European Union all condemned the enactment of law of the law, saying it undermines equality and the right of all Ugandans to live free from discrimination and persecution. President Biden called the law, quote, a tragic violation of universal human rights. So apparently here we see something interesting. We see Biden arguing that it is a universal human right if you are a homosexual to sleep with children, because this law is saying, hey, you can't sleep with children. If you're a homosexual, you can't sleep with children. That's a good law, right? You can't sleep with disabled people. You can't sleep with people when they're unconscious. That's a good law. That's called rape. That's what that's called. And so Biden seems to be arguing that if you are a homosexual, you have the right to rape others. And let's see. All right. Continuing now, and said his administration would, quote, evaluate the implications of this law on all aspects of U.S. engagement with Uganda. Quote, we are considering additional steps, including the application of sanctions and restrictions of entry into the United States against anyone involved in serious human rights abuses or corruption, he said in a statement. And so Biden there, he's really showing his colors. He's saying, if you, by the way, it's kind of racist of Biden, right? Ugandans, he's racist against Ugandans. But no, he's saying, if you are a homosexual, you have the right to rape children. That's basically what Biden is saying. I'm not the one putting words in his mouth there. You saw it right there directly from him. But I want to play this clip. This is a clip from the when they were signing this into law. This is one of their parliament members. Let's go ahead and take a listen to this.
We will have our morals. We will protect our children. And we are making this law. We are making this law for ourselves. We are making this law for our children. We are making this law for the children of our children. This country will stand firm. And once it passed, I can tell you, Madam Speaker, we are going to reinforce the law enforcement officers to make sure that homosexuals have no space in Uganda.
So the Ugandans there, they are showing moral courage, more moral courage than anyone in the U.S. has shown in the last 50 years. They are afraid of, and this was something that Jordan Peterson was pointing out recently, was that you can have fears. You can have fears of different things. And so there is the fear of, you know, punishment from the U.S. government. There is the fear of, you know, poor economic situations with, you know, other countries limiting trade. And then there is also the fear of your country being destroyed by immorality. And so maybe perhaps it's not a question of moral courage. It's a question of what is it that these people are afraid of? And they might just be afraid of the right thing. They might be afraid of the living God, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so it seems that they are afraid of the smut that's being put out by America. They are afraid of what it's doing to children, and they are resisting. And so, yeah, I guess we probably could classify this as courage. And courage is contagious. And so seeing Uganda do this, who knows what courage that might invoke in others? Who knows what courage that might evoke in us here in America? Probably not that we'd pass a law like that, but perhaps that we'd be willing to stand up and say, this is unacceptable. Perhaps just to our citizens, to look at them and say, hey, they're allowed to do that. They're allowed to say that in public. We're going to say that in public as well. And so Uganda, the Ugandans, they have done right and risked the consequences. They might have their trade relations with the U.S. cut off. That would be pretty brutal, economically speaking, at least initially, right? They certainly knew that their trade relations would suffer because of this. So because they say, you know, gay men can't rape children, they might suffer economically. But hey, I would take that deal personally. I would take that deal. If I suffered economically and that was the price for saying gay men can't rape children, I would pay that price. But a word of encouragement to the Ugandans here. When you have strong morals, when you have a righteous society, when your laws reflect righteousness, your country will have economic prosperity. I guarantee that. And so perhaps not at first, right? At first, a lot of the times, your society begins to rely on immorality. Say, for example, if your society is relying on prostitution, and that's one major way that you make a lot of money, if you say, hey, you know what, no longer prostitution is illegal, that might cause economic hardship at first, but in the long run, your economy will benefit from that. And so official prediction here, without knowing hardly anything, I'm not at all familiar with the, you know, geopolitical situation in Uganda. I've taken zero time to study their economics, but my official prediction with Uganda is, assuming that they continue and they keep this law in place, they will become more prosperous than they are now to a significant degree. It will not be a minor degree. It will be, they will have significant economic growth. And so let's make sure to check in on that again in a few years here. But so if you feel alone, don't, because if not here in the U.S., there are other places in the world where morality has at least some fleeting grip on society. A still small voice is crying out, and, you know, a voice in the wilderness. Now, luckily, we don't have to go all the way across the world to find other people who oppose this pride nonsense. We've been reporting on the whole Bud Light boycott after they sponsored transgender activist Dylan Mulvaney. Americans were not thrilled with that. And it looks like Tranhauser-Busch, they have about as much business sense as the late Blockbuster. I miss Blockbuster, but it looks like they have about as much business sense as Blockbuster. Reading now from the New York Post, Bud Light sponsors Cincinnati Pride Parade after Dylan Mulvaney controversy. And so this just keeps getting worse and worse for Bud Light. Bud Light is one of the brands sponsoring next month's Cincinnati Pride Parade, the latest in a series of mixed signals the beer giant has given as it grapples with the controversy over Dylan Mulvaney's partnership. A glance at the list of sponsors on the event's website reveals that Anheuser-Busch brand is lending its name to the annual event, which will be held on June 24th. The image on the page shows a rainbow-colored bottle of Bud Light next to a glass of beer under the heading Together in Pride. Bud Light's sponsorship of the event was first flagged by conservative critics on social media. The post has sought comment from Anheuser-Busch, as well as from the organizers of the event. Anheuser-Busch has seen sales of Bud Light plunge for six consecutive weeks. Wow. In order to reignite interest in the brand, Bud Light is offering generous rebates for Memorial Day. This was posted 2 days ago. And then here we see the post, Together in Pride. It's the Bud Light in the rainbow gear. And this is the Pride Parade, which they are celebrating. Bud Light, they're sponsoring this year's Pride Parade Cincinnati. And then we see Anheuser-Busch is looking to make amends with alienated customers who were put off by the Mulvaney social media posts touting Bud Light. It has been airing commercials that play heavily on red-blooded themes such as football and country music. And so this is so patronizing of those ads. They're so patronizing. They're like, oh, okay, they didn't like us supporting this Pride insanity. And so, you know, maybe we can appeal to them by being like, oh, I don't know, we're a country beer. We're a country beer. Ha ha ha. You like country beer, right? You'll drink us because we show, you know. And so it's just so unbelievably patronizing. It has been airing commercials that play heavily. Here we go. One ad showed young beer drinkers frolicking in the rain at a country music festival. I remember that ad. That was, it's so insulting. And then skipping ahead a bit, as the controversy simmered, Anheuser-Busch's top executive offered an apology that was panned by critics as flat. We never intended to be part of a discussion that divides people. That's what the InBev CEO said in a press release titled Our Responsibility to America. And it's kind of like how, you know, with you might have some kids who are fighting and one of them calls the other an idiot and the mom's like, hey, say sorry. And the brother says, I'm sorry, you're an idiot. That's the vibe that I get from this apology from Anheuser-Busch. It's not much of an apology at all. He says, we are in the business of bringing people together over a beer. And they did bring a lot of people together. They brought a lot of people together over their hatred of Bud Light, not over a beer, over the hatred of a beer. And so they're trying to play to all these American stereotypes, right? With all those ads, the country music lovers, the football lovers, the horse racing, all that. It's all very patronizing, all very insulting. We get that half-hearted apology. And if we did not respond well to a half-hearted apology, how do you think we're going to respond to this, Bud Light, you sponsoring the Cincinnati Pride Parade? What do you think is going to, you're thinking conservatives who make up the majority of your customers, conservatives see you sponsoring Dylan Mulvaney and they boycott you for that. And you think, oh, how could we possibly win them back? Okay, the patronizing ads, they aren't working. Maybe, let's double down on the Pride stuff. Let's sponsor a Cincinnati Pride Parade. What are you thinking? It makes zero sense. And that is why we see, so how did we respond to that? Well, reading now from Newsweek, let me pull this up here. Reading now from Newsweek, we see Bud Light sales dropped 29.5% in latest week since boycott calls. That's 30%, 30% drop. Bud Light, let me get this out of the way. Bud Light has continued to suffer declining fortunes as a boycott of the beer brand over its partnership with transgender influencer Dylan Mulvaney is reported to have had a lasting impact on sales and revenue. According to data by Bump Williams Consulting and Nielsen IQ provided to Newsweek, in the week ending May 20th, sales volume, the number of units of beer sold, declined 29.5% compared to the same period last year, while sales revenue was down 25.7% on the same week in 2022. Anheuser-Busch Bud Light's parent company has been accused of alienating its traditional customer base with the partnership, while some LGBT campaigners have also criticized the company for not defending its ties with Mulvaney. And it's just so funny. All right. Dave Williams, Vice President for Analytics and Insights at Bump Williams Consulting, said at the time that the result, quote, raises questions about the potential long-term implications. The two back-to-back four-week sales results suggest the effects of the boycott have only worsened in May. However, elevated beer sales in summer of 2022 could make the decline from 1 month to the next this year appear greater. Williams told Newsweek on Tuesday that the rate of decline Bud Light sales have displayed has been a bit steeper in May than in April, but added that it, quote, does appear to be plateauing. And then, quote, one thing is for sure, the rate of decline has not gotten better just yet. And so they're not doing great. Their sales are down 30%, a whopping 30%. And what's happening is people are finally starting to realize, oh, hey, we're allowed to resist. We have free will. We have, you know, as the left, they love to say, we have bodily autonomy. And we're realizing that we're not alone. There's so many others who are on board with you. If you oppose transgenderism, you are not alone in that. The trans, they have gone too far this time. It's sick and people are sick of it and they're standing up against it. And I'm excited to see this through June because June is Pride Month. I feel like people are going to have how much they hate Pride Month really shoved in their face, shoved down their throats, and the way that they'll be able to bite back, the one way that they can bite back is by saying, no, we're going to continue boycotting, you know, Bud Light. We're going to boycott Target, more on that in a minute. And so I think that their sales are not going to improve any, at least not for the month of June. And so that's my prediction. And so as conservatives, we really have to keep this up because this is a change that we're making. We're punishing these people for their nonsense. And so it's about time that we started using the little power that we do have to accomplish what we can. We have to keep the boycott going through June, through Pride Month, and through the rest of summer when beer sales are at their highest. And that'll really send the message, right? If we can stick this through even their highest sales time of the year, that would be incredible. And so I'm going to continue with the boycott. I wonder, y'all in the audience, are you holding up strongly? I hope so. Let me know how you're feeling about the boycott. Now, there might be some Pride folks who buy Bud Light during June just to try to support the company. But two points on that, two reasons I think they won't. Number one, Bud Light didn't adamantly double down on Mulvaney. And so now the woke mob also hates Bud Light, as we saw there. By the way, conservatives are very forgiving. If Bud Light were to repent and then condemn the LGBT movement, their sales would triple what they had ever been at their highest point. They'd triple, like, overnight. And so Bud Light, if you want to make money, repent and then condemn the LGBT movement. But also number two, the left has never been very good at supporting companies who agree with them, right? That's been one thing the right is pretty darn good at. We, historically speaking, the left, they've been really good at boycotting, and the right has been very good at supporting companies, not vice versa. And so take guys like, was it the Goya Bean? Was it them? I forget. They said something conservative. MyPillow is a great example. When companies come out with Christian, conservative, Republican beliefs, the right really supports them. The left, they don't really support people just for being leftist. And so I don't think that Bud Light, I predict that their sales won't be much better in June. Now, Target, I have been so encouraged by that boycott. I thought for sure that would fizzle out. I remember when I was, and this is when I was a kid, when the company Target, when they had first allowed men into the women's bathrooms, there was a call for a boycott, but nothing ended up happening with that. It just fizzled out. I thought the same would happen here in 2023, but oh boy, was I wrong. Oh boy, was I wrong. And oh man, I am so unbelievably happy that I was wrong. If you don't recall, Target, they started selling demonic pride merchandise for children. And it's not just me being like, oh, hey, it's pride, so it's, you know, demonic and, you know, rainbows are bad. That's not what I'm saying. This is literal self-professed Satanists who designed the pride apparel for these kids, and Target thought it would be a good idea to sell that. Conservatives, they called for a boycott because of that. And check this out. All right, reading now from the New York Post. Target loses $10 billion in 10 days as stocks fall following boycott over LGBTQ-friendly kids clothing. And LGBT friendly? No, no one cares if someone is friendly. No one is going to boycott you for being friendly to someone. It was the whole, oh, I don't know, demonic clothing for two-year-olds that had us pretty upset. But so that's the headline that, of course, you get is that it's LGBT friendly. That's not what it is. But we read Target has lost $10 billion in market valuation over the last 10 days as the popular retailer continues to face backlash over its pride themed clothing line for children. A week ago, Wednesday, Target enjoyed its stock value at $160.96 a share. But following the calls to boycott the Minneapolis based retailer over its Pride collection, the value plummeted and closed Friday at $138.93 a share. That's nearly 14% drop in value for the blue chip stock, roughly translates to a $10.1 billion loss in valuation to just $64.2 billion for Target, which has nearly 2,000 stores nationwide. The plummet stands as the retailer's lowest stock price in nearly 3 years. The last time the company saw a drop nearly this big came in 2022 during COVID, yada, yada, yada. Target, which has been caught in the middle of America's culture wars over gender, moved its pride section in some southern stores away from the front last week after it said displays were knocked over by protesters who also confronted workers. And here you see the children's pride themed clothing. This is not quite the demonic stuff that they had up. These are just other related pictures. The retailer also said it would remove items from the collection, but did not specify which. Among the ones that garnered the most attention were quote unquote tuck friendly women's swimsuits that allowed trans women to have who have not had gender affirming operations to conceal their genitalia, as well as rainbow themed children's clothing. And so, it's funny, Target, they're like, oh, so there's some men who want to say they're women who want to have clothes. So let's have, swimsuits for men who want to be women, and we can come up with clothes, swimsuits specifically for them. But newsflash, men, you already have swimsuits. You can just, you know, buy a men's swimsuit and that'll work all fine and dandy. While many have likened the conservative boycott against Target to that of Bud Light, which saw sales crash after partnering with transgender influencer Dylan Mulvaney, Texas Senator Ted Cruz doubted the backlash against the retailer would be as impactful. And so he said on his podcast that it wouldn't have lasting influence, yada, yada, yada. And so this is really encouraging. Of course, I doubt Target will, you know, go under or anything like that. But that's not the point. The point doesn't have to be that they literally go under, that they go bankrupt. Don't get me wrong. I hope Target loses every penny it has. But it's worth remembering that boycotts here, it's not a moral standard. Boycotts are not moral standards. They are strategies. And so you're not, you know, morally unallowed. You are morally free to shop at these stores. It's morally acceptable to buy a Bud Light, but it's the strategy. It's a good strategy. And do we really think that we can bring them to bankruptcy? No, probably not. But that's not the goal. The goal is to get them to realize we lost $10 billion. That's pretty scary. Maybe we shouldn't be so, you know, in your face about it next time. And maybe the next, you know, beer company that comes along, the next retailer like Target that comes along, will take a look at this nonsense and say, you know, oh, maybe we shouldn't do that. Maybe we shouldn't promote this nonsense. Maybe we shouldn't have Satanists design our children's clothes. Maybe we shouldn't put, you know, transgenders on our beer cans. Maybe if we don't do that, we won't lose $10 billion. And certainly as conservatives, we have succeeded with this strategy. It's been a win. Just in 10 days, we have caused $10 billion worth of loss for Target. And so, you know, we're not bankrupting them, but we're giving them reason to think twice. And right, conservatives, we're not used to wielding our power. We're not used to wielding our influence. And so this is, you know, it's a good start. We can say that it's a good start at least. And so we need to remember that we have much more influence than we realize. Just our little amount of power has done all of this, and it can do much more. And we should use that influence for good. And so this is awesome. Now, this made the news recently. Toronto Blue Jays player Anthony Bass. He had some thoughts on this. Let's check this out. This is a post that he shared. So this isn't him. He didn't make this post. He just shared this post. But let's go ahead and take a watch of the post that he shared.
Why I believe Christians ought to be boycotting Target and Bud Light and any other corporation that's pushing the things they're pushing. I think a lot of people make this into a political issue, or they say, oh, what's the big deal? If, you know, is it really going to make that big of a difference if I'm shopping there or not shopping there? Here's what the Bible says. It tells us what to do as Christians in Ephesians chapter 5. It says this: take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful to even talk of the things that they do in secret. So what does that mean to take no part? Well, what's Target do? It's a business. They make money. They sell things. And to take part in that is to take part in that God of Mammon that they're serving, and to take part in the darkness that they're purveying and getting out to the world and shoving into children's faces. And to take part in that is to give them your money. And I believe the Bible gives us radical precedent to say no. We are running from that, and to instead expose those things, to shout it to all the people that have ears to hear, that this is evil, this is demonic, we won't stand for it, we're not going to go to the stores anymore, and we're not going to give them our money. We're going to let our voice be heard so that people can see the light, and so that people can be pulled out of the darkness.
And so that's pretty good stuff. They're pretty solid. I'm not completely, 100% on board with it. I think that biblically there's grounds to not boycott. I don't quite think we have a biblical moral obligation to boycott, you know, Target or Bud Light. But I really do like that message. We should expose the unfruitful works of darkness. Really solid stuff there. I'm thankful to this guy for posting that. That's awesome. And so that's really great. And the Blue Jays player, Anthony Bass, however you say his last name, he shared that message and he got some backlash. And here was his rather unfortunate response to that backlash.
I recognized yesterday I made a post that was hurtful to the Pride community, which includes friends of mine and close family members of mine. And I am truly sorry for that. I just spoke with my teammates and shared with them my actions yesterday. I apologized with them. And as of right now, I'm using the Blue Jays resources to better educate myself, to make better decisions moving forward. The ballpark is for everybody. We include all fans at the ballpark, and we want to welcome everybody. That's all I have to say. Thank you. I recognize.
So that is total cowardice. That is, oh, that is like, if, when you think sniveling coward, you think of that guy. What a pathetic display of manliness. And so here's a piece of advice. Here's a piece of advice, Anthony. I just said a little bit ago that conservatives are very forgiving. That's true. We are. If Hillary Clinton, if she said, you know, conservatives, they're right. I've been wrong. Conservatives have been right this entire time. I'm wrong. I'm immoral. And I repent. We would say, wow, that's a lot of humility. That's incredible, Hillary. But the left, they're not so forgiving. And you cannot appease the left. They will eat you alive. And if you apologize, they will just see that as more ammunition. Oh, you were wrong. You need to be punished. And so when you do something, when you say anything that angers them, that makes them upset, there's only one response. There's only one possible response. Have a spine. So show some backbone. Stand up for what you believe in. Don't apologize for having a belief, especially if your belief is correct, especially if it's true. And even further, especially, and this is, you know, if you're a Christian to the nth degree, especially if your belief is biblical. And so if you apologize for a belief that is biblical, and what you're essentially saying is you're saying, hey, the Bible is pretty dumb, it was wrong, and I'm dumb for believing it. What a coward. What a coward. And as a Christian too, it's just, it's so upsetting. And if you are a Christian, you really should care about what the Bible says. And so on cowardice, what does the Bible say? Well, what's the most applicable lesson from, you know, say the book of Joshua? The book of Joshua is all about not being a coward, not being afraid. But how about, you know, or I guess I'll pull it up.
Do I have a Bible around here?
I do have a Bible around here. At the end of the Bible, there is a list. In the book of Revelation, there is a list of people who will not be going to heaven. And it's an interesting question. When the Bible gives a list of people, of various sins, of people who are not going to heaven, what's at the top of those lists? It's always just interesting to see what's at the top of the list. So Revelation has 22 chapters. Chapter 21 has a list of people who are not going to heaven. So Anthony, you might do well to read this. This is 21. I won't tell you the exact verse. You can find it yourself. But it's in Revelation chapter 21. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars shall have their place in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Did you catch what's the first thing on that list? The first thing on that list, but the cowardly will go to hell. And unfortunately, it looks like that is what Anthony is there. So Anthony, you are being a coward, and you should repent of your cowardice, and you should go right back out there to the same people who are, you know, taking those interviews. Go back out to those same people and say, no, I apologize for apologizing. I was right. It's wickedness, and I oppose it. And so this is Dominic Enyart reminding you, don't be a coward like Anthony Bass, but be like the Ugandans, have some spine, do right, and risk the consequences.